Parshas Lach Lecha introduces us to Avraham Avinu, the major turning points. Bereishis and Noach have been universal, looking at all of humanity, and now the focus begins to sharpen and tighten around Avraham. Avraham and his progeny, particularly Zerah Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu, and his children, who will ultimately become the Amah Nivchar, who will receive the Torah and receive Eretz Yisrael. And at the very outset, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to leave where you are, Artzach HaMoladetach, it's time to head away from the family, head to Eretz Yisrael, to the land that I will tell you. Avraham comes, as we know, at the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Ve'elach Avraham Kasha Dibre Elav Hashem. Avraham Avinu travels, takes with him some traveling mates, Lot. He's 75 years old, he leaves Haran, loosely speaking, the area of modern-day Syria, where he had been with Terach, because the end of the previous Sedra, the end of Noach, Terach had taken his family, Avram, Lot, and so forth. They had left Ur Kazdim, they had traveled from Mesopotamia part of the way towards Eretz Yisrael. The guys traveled westward across the top of the Fertile Crescent, all the way until the area of Syria, to Haran, and they had stayed there. Now, beginning of Lach Lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, it's time to leave Haran. Leave Terach. You've made part of the trip together with Terach. Now it's time to make the rest of the trip on your own. Head to Eretz Yisrael, and Avram does at the age of 75. They come to Eretz Yisrael and Pasukei Vayavo Eretz Kanan. They travel, they arrive in Eretz Kanan. Vayavor Pasuk Vav. What is he doing against Eretz Yisrael? Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Lo Moreh. He comes and he travels a distance. He comes all the way until Shechem, till Lo Moreh, till the center of Eretz Yisrael. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, builds him his Be'ach, and begins his work. And begins to travel southward. Vayisa Avram Haloch V'Nosoa HaNegba. He's making his way step by step towards the south of Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi tells us, he would stay for a while, move further south, stay for a while, move further south. The Ramban says, right now, I need to tell you a critical concept. Omar lecha klal, tavinosa b'chol ha-parshos ha-boz b'inyin Avram Yitzhak v'Yaakov. We're beginning the Parshios of the Avos, from Lech Lecha to the end of Chumash Bereishis. You need to have the following principle in your toolbox. Inyan Gadol, it's a major concept, is Giru Rabba Sene B'derach Katzara. Chazal presented in a very brief language, but the package is small, but the contents are vast. What's the principle? The Amru, Chazal tell us in the Midrashim, the way the Ramban phrases it, that which happened to the Avos is a sign, is a simen for the children. Meaning, a simen for what will happen to the children. We often rephrase this, Rabban often rephrases it, even more tersely, four words. Ma'asa Avos, simen labanim. What happens to the Avos is a simen for what will in the future happen for the children, for us, for Klal Yisrael. They are our avos. And the events in their lives were laying out a framework that's going to recur in patterns that will recur in Jewish history. And that's why, Ramban says, the Torah spends so much time talking about things that seem like mundane details. The Torah spends so much time talking about how the avos traveled. The Torah spends a fair amount of time talking about the digging the various wells by Avram, by Yitzhak to find water, other events. And one might think that this is excess. There's no point. There's no purpose. What do you mean there's no purpose? So in saying that, I believe he's referencing a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah, which in many senses may be the most critical, the most fundamental in terms of methodology of learning Tanakh. The Gemara tells us that the vast majority of Nevi'im who prophesied over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, from Moshe to Malachi, the vast majority of those Nevi'im we never heard of. The people at the time heard them, but they're not recorded in Tanakh. We don't know their names. We certainly don't know anything that they said. Gemara points out we only know a very tiny fraction of the Nevuahs that were said. We only know about a very tiny fraction of Nevi'im who were Misnabe. Very little makes it into Tanakh. Why? What drives the decision of whether it makes it or not? Which Nevuahs make the cut? So the Gemara gives a clear rule. The criterion is Nevuah Shehotzru Chaladaros Nechtava. If Nevuah was needed for all generations, then it makes it into the Tanakh. Nevuah Shelo Hotzru Chaladaros, if it was not needed eternally for all generations, Lo Nechtava, then it will not make it into Tanakh. Most Nevuahs were, well, every Nevuah is relevant and important for its audience, but most Nevuahs were only relevant for the immediate audience at the time. So the Nevuah needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Navi to give the Nevuah to the people, but it doesn't get recorded in Tanakh because it's not of eternal relevance. Those the tiny percentage of Nevuahs that make into Tanakh, those who make into Tanakh are those which have eternal relevance. So then the question is, that's a powerful tool to use. Every time we learn Tanakh, we ask ourselves, what is the eternal relevance? What lesson are we supposed to draw from this story? When we say that Tanakh is not a history book, Tanakh, of course, is historical. It's recording historically accurate events, but it's not a history book in the sense that it's not giving you the full picture of all the history. It's only giving you a select group of Nevuos, of episodes, those, not necessarily those which are most historically interesting, but those which are morally relevant, those which have a lesson, Lidoros. A matter of fact, the Ralbag, Ben Levi Ben Gershon, wrote a pay, one of the Rishonim, wrote a Peirush on Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and one of the twists in his Peirush is he has a line-by-line Peirush, but every once in a while, every parak, every couple of prakim, he'll stop and say, what were the to'alios? That's plural of to'elas. What was accomplished? What did we learn? What were the lessons? Let's concretize. What are the lessons that we were meant to learn from the foregoing parak, the foregoing last couple of prakim? I think on his Peirush and Megillas Rus, he says there are 16 different lessons that you learn the doros from Rus. Some halachic and some musar, some practical. So that's what the Ramban is saying here. We'll take that tool, that concept that Chazal gives us in Maseches Megillah, that every nevuah in Tanakh is hutzrach ha'ladaros. We look at Chumash Bereishis and the stories of the Avos, and we wonder, is all of this hutzrach ha'ladaros? As he said, where's the to'elas? That's the word that Ralbag uses. To'alios. It looks as though, ain't bad in to'elas. Why does it matter to us whether Avraham Avinu traveled to Beis El or to Ai or to Be'er Sheva or to Hebron or to Lachish, where he didn't travel? What does it matter? How many wells they dug? What does it matter? Of course, it was important for him. He needed water to survive. He needed to travel from place to place to reach the people and to teach them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, it was important at the time that it happened, but why are those details relevant to us? So where's the lesson in these details? Rabban says, here's the answer. The answer is that principle that the Bali HaMedrash teaches, Mas Avasum Labanim, Kulam Ba'im Lameda La'asid. Those nitty-gritty details in the stories of the Avos, they're teaching me about the future. They're teaching me these are all predicting, telling us about things that will happen later on, be expanded later on in Jewish history. Ki kasher yavo ha-mikra la-navi mishloshes ha-avos. How did that work? My service from the bottom. Then Rabban begins to explain what's the engine that drives that. How did that work? Because it might happen to the Avos, therefore to Simon for the future? He says, yes. When an event occurred to one of the Avos, who were all Nevi'im, Yisbonei mimenu hadavar hanigzel avol azaro. That Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov would, wearing his Navi cap, in his role as a Navi, would think deeply, what's the significance of this event? How is this event a nevuah for what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? So that's fascinating. Ramban just solved one problem and opened a new door. In other words, he just explained to us the many details, the very small details of the narratives of the Avos are all nevuos about Jewish history in the future. And he will be consistent. He will, as soon as he's done with this paragraph, he's going to begin to say, okay, let's look at this pasuk, Shechem is here, and this is there, and this is a nevuah about this and that, and so on and so forth. But I want to look at the principle that he's building. Because he says, he explained, Ma'asa Avos Simul Banim, and that means that the Ma'asa Avos were nevuos to the Avos about what would happen to their children. And that's why so that explains how it works. That explains why it's being recorded in the Chumash, because it's relevant to us to be able to see the nevuos about Jewish history. But now you open a new door, which he's about to discuss a little bit as well. Another, even perhaps broader, Tanakh principle. We might wonder here, it's a nevuah? No one said anything. Where is the nevuah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Brismei Abzarim, he tells him, here's what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. They're going to go into Mitzrayim, they come out of Mitzrayim, Gamalek Goy Shevo Daranochi, Berechush Gadol, so on and so forth. That's a verbal nevuah. But the Rabban sounds like he's breaking new ground here. He says, when an event would occur to the Avos, he would think about, what does this tell me? An event occurs. He would plumb its depth. He would consider, what is this telling me about the Nigzal of Ol Lazara? It's interesting. Actions play a role in Nevuah. Isn't Nevuah all verbal? So Rabban says, you have to know the next principle. And again, as I said, the first principle, Ma'asav HaSim L'Banim, is really relevant specifically to Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis from Lech Lecha and on. The Av, Arvin, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The Rabban now has a second principle, which is relevant throughout the Tanakh, to all 24 Sifrei HaKodesh. The Dahi says, you need to know, he called Gezeiras Irin, any Gezer Mishamayim, Kasher Teitse Mikoach Gezer El Poal, Dimyon, when it moves from being a gezera, verbal, in principle, in potential, to poal dimyon, to action, but action that doesn't mean when the gezera actually happens, when it's realized, when it's fulfilled. Poal dimyon, an action which is a dimyon, an action which represents what's going to happen. In other words, when a gezera, a nevuah, is not just spoken, but mimed, nevuah is acted out, tiyeh ha-gezeira miskayemas al kol panim. That makes the gezeira, the nevuah, more powerful. The nevuah is reinforced when it's expressed in action and not just in word. When it's acted out. And the Ramban says, once you know this principle, you begin to see this at work in many different parts of the Tanakh. That's why you'll periodically see that the Nevi'im not only deliver the Nevu'ah verbally, but they act it out in some way. You look at Sefer Yirmiyahu, he commands his primary Talmud, Baruch Ben Neria, you're going to, here we have this Nevu'ah of Churban. We have this Nevuah written on parchment. Excuse me. We have a Nevuah written on parchment, and you're going to read it, Yirmiyahu tells Baruch, and then Tikshar Lav Evan, and tie a rock to it. In other words, tie on a sinker, as a fisherman would say. Vishlachto Tov Pras, toss it into the Euphrates River. V'yamarta Kocha Tishka Bava. Tell them that's how Bava is going to sink. He didn't just verbally deliver the Nevuah, he actually acted out. He showed something sinking. Elisha puts his arm on the keshes to show how the bow would shoot, and that's expressive of who's going to win, who's going to lose. There are many, perhaps we would have said, more famous examples of this. Sefer Yechezkel. He's told not only to be misnabe about the Churban of Yerushalayim, about the siege of Yerushalayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't just talk about it. I want you to actually build the model of Yerushalayim and then lie on your side next to this model of Yerushalayim, demonstrating with your own body the matzor, the siege on Yerushalayim. The Navi comes to Shlomo HaMelech to tell him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that your father David and you were kings over all of the Shvatim, the United Kingdom of Eretz Israel. The Navi says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, but because you're Chataim, that will not continue. Your son Rechavam will only take over Malchus Yehuda, the southern kingdom, and Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, will revert back to being a separate country. Yeravam is going to be in charge there. The Navi delivers this tragic nevuah to Shlomo, but he doesn't deliver it merely verbally. He does deliver it verbally. He also takes a piece of clothing and rips it to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rip apart, rip asunder the united kingdom of Eretz Yisrael into two parts. You find that throughout the Tanakh. The Nevi'im would verbally deliver the nevuah, and they would also act it out. Not always, but frequently. So the Ramban says, Ulefikach, here at the footnote 31, Ulefikach hechazik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avram ba'aretz. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Avram move into the land. Va'aselo dimyonos b'chol he'asid le'asos b'zaro. And he had him act out the various things that would happen in the future to his children. V'havein zeh, understand this well. In other words, what Ramban just told us is that the engine that drives Ma'aseh Avosim u'Labanim is this concept of Po'al Dimyon. So Nevuah is more powerful, and Nevuah is reinforced when it's acted out with a Po'al Dimyon. And Ma'aseh Avosim u'Labanim was the Po'al Dimyon that the Avos as Nevi'im were acting out various Nevuos that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given them about Jewish history. To begin with, the very fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, "Kum isalech ba'aretz la'arko l'rachba ki l'cha atanana," Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, "I want you to walk throughout Eretz Yisrael. Walk throughout all of Eretz Yisrael because I'm going to give it to your family, your children. Kol Yisrael will have Eretz Yisrael." So the question is, why does he need to walk throughout all of Eretz Yisrael? That's an incredible hike. Yam liyam, widthwise, is days, is several days. Lengthwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go both ways, la'arka u l'rachba, length and width. That's weeks, if not months. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have anything else for Avraham Avinu to do. Avraham Avinu is busy being mekar of levavos, to believe in Ribbono Shel'Olam. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to walk all over? So it could be he wants him to walk all over, travel throughout Eretz Yisrael over time, and reach all the people who live in the various parts of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, the machlokas hatana, and whether or not that was a kinyan, a legal kinyan on Eretz Yisrael. So if that was a kinyan on Eretz Yisrael, that actually kilacha tanena, through this it becomes shel klal Yisrael. Then we understand. But if this wasn't the kinyan, they just expressed the nevuah, the kinyan would happen later, perhaps. So then why? Why? So the Ramban would say po'al dimyon. Exactly. Avraham Avinu was acting out the nevuah. We're not just going to. Akash Bo says, "I'm not just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you verbally or mentally that the Klal Yisrael will take possession of Eretz Yisrael. You're actually going to act it out. That will reinforce the nevuah." So that's a fascinating idea. And the Rabban so far has given us two very powerful concepts. A concept that work throughout Tanakh, the idea of the Po'al Dimyon, action strengthening word. And what the Ramban sees as a particular application of Po'al Dimyon in Chumash Bereishis, namely Ma'aseh Avosim u'Labanim. This is fascinating in its own right, in terms of how you learn Bereishis, in terms of how you learn Tanakh in general. And I mean, we mentioned before, in the context of developing this Ramban, that he's alluding to a third major principle of nevuah shehotzro chaladoros versus nevuah shelohotzro chaladoros. These concepts are lenses that we use in learning Bereishis in particular, and Chumash and Nevi'im Miksuvim in general, looking to see what's the toelas, in what ways the hotzro chaladoros, and being cognizant of the fact that sometimes actions that Nevi'im perform are there and are being recorded because they are po'alei dimyon to reinforce the verbal mental nevuah. And specifically in Chumash Bereishis, you recognize it's nevuah shel hutzrichos. It's all relevant. Let's say the details are meaningful, and a big part of the meaningfulness, Ramban tells us, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is presenting to the others nevuos of Jewish history. Maybe one closing thought, in addition to, in terms of what a Jew personally in one's avoda can draw from this discussion, could draw from this conversation in Ramban. It's fascinating. It's enriching. It opens our eyes to whole new layers of meaning in Tanakh and Chumash Bereishis in particular. Wow. What do I draw from this personally? So one point is, I think, that to rector be reminded of the richness of the words of Torah, to remind you that every word of Torah has meaning, and we may not always see it right away. There are a lot of things we can't make sense of right away, but we know with certainty that if the words are there, the stories are there, the details are there, the sentences are there, in Chumash it's there for a reason. That's our starting assumption, that if it's in Torah, if it's in Tanakh, it's meaningful, it's Hutzrichos HaDoros, it's on us to figure out what. And one of the tools may be Ma'aseh HaSimon LaBanim. Another concept to think about, perhaps in our own avoda, is sort of to think about the larger meaningfulness of Po'al Dimyon. The notion that words and thoughts of Nevuah are reinforced and far stronger when they're translated into action. That's true. It's a spiritual principle in Nevuah. It might also be a spiritual and psychological principle in our own avoda. Even if you and I are not yet Nevi'im, and our words about the future are not Nevuos, but we might still have words about the future. We might have predictions for the future, hopes for the future, plans for the future. And to have plans is a very important thing. To have dreams, a very important thing. And the question is, where does it go from there? And to find po'alei dimyon, you want ultimately to turn your plans into reality. L'hotzi min ha'koach el ha'po'al, to use language the Ramban used in this passage. Even before I fully realized, to have initial actions, po'alei dimyon is very powerful. It may even speak to the power of writing it down on paper. Don't just have a plan in your head, a Kabbalah in your head. The Bali Musar had a Pinkus. They had a diary where they would write that they had a plan for how they wanted to change, how they wanted to improve the course of the year. They would write it down. The beginning of a Sikha, one of the volumes of Sikhas Musar, they have a whole beautiful essay, Derech Shel Aliyah, where they trace the author, Reb Chaim Friedlander, his trajectory of spiritual growth over the course of years and decades by looking at his diary after he had passed away. Look at different diaries where he had recorded what he was working on. And that was, I think, common among Bali Musar. Even before you've fulfilled your plans, but you figure out how to translate it into action, a po'al dimyon, to represent what the ideas and words and plans are, and to figure out how we're going to be strategic about realizing and fulfilling the goals and plans and dreams we had from Tishrei over the course of the year. The concept, the theme of Po'al Dimyon is a powerful theme that can help us realize the dreams that we have to bring ourselves close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to thank you all for calling in. Have a marvelous, marvelous day, Rabbos, and we shall be in touch.